الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: وألف بين قلوبهم لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم إنه عزيز حكيم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. لا تسلع سيد درو الشريف اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. Honorable ulama ikram, respected elders, brothers and friends, the call today throughout the world is that we need the Muslim ummah to unite. The question remains, how do we unite? What is the prescription for unity? We know very well that our deen has still a solution for everything. The first we look into is the Quran, and then the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the life of the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in for guidance. And alhamdulillah, somewhere in some way you will find the solution. So when we talk of wanting to unite, what is the solution in the Quran, hadith, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out in an ayat, a very, very important aspect of the life of a mu'min. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who have iman and they have amalu salih, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Allah Ta'ala creates in their hearts love for one another. Allah Ta'ala creates in their hearts love for one another. Now when we talk of love, what is this love that we talk of? When somebody loves someone, you have inclination towards that person, you have compassion towards that person, you prepare to forego some of your personal benefits and rights for that person. Love entails so many things. So when one mu'min has a love for the other mu'min, then that is unity. That is what is called unity. And this unity does not come with all the things that we see around us, or that we have made a means of uniting ourselves. For example, if we feel now we're going to protest and we're going to all get united, or if we're going to go into this procession, we're going to all get united, or we're going to all follow this one doctrine, we're all going to get united. That does not bring unity. Unity comes, in simple words, iman and amalu salih, and that means deen. That means if everybody comes onto deen, the ummah will be united. The question is, or the reason the ummah is not united, is because the ummah is not on deen. Allah protect us. If the ummah gets united, comes on deen, then there is no need for unity. Look into the lives of the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Their unity was what? Their strength was what? Their unity and their strength was, they were on deen 100%. So they had no reason to be disunited. Because everybody knew, this is the injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to accept it, and we have to follow it, and we have to obey it. So they were united. to such an extent that after the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the separation of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so much onto the Sahaba, that we know people like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who was walking around with a sword, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, very close bosom companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for a moment, for a while, lost themselves. The person to save the Ummah at that point of time was who? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. After he came, he went into the room when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was covered. He lifted up the sheet. He kissed the Mubarak head. He came out and he saw the confusion. And what did he say to the Ummah? In kuntum ta'abudun Allah, in kuntum ta'abudun Muhammadan faqad mat. Wa in kuntum ta'abudun Allah, fa innahu hayyun qayyumun la yazal. That if you have your whole life worshipped Muhammad, your God is gone. But if you have worshipped Allah, Allah is still ever living and everlasting. And that one sentence took hold of the whole Ummah. And then so many challenges came his way. Even people refused to pay zakat. So say now Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, one man, he said, even if I've got to go into battle alone, even if one person is owing one shoestring, I will make sure I will take it from him. That time there was no differences of opinion. Or people said, give it some time, this, etc., etc. But he stood firm. And in that firmness, he kept the Ummah together. And today, what is our condition? We are so affected and we are so taken by the present day situation around us that we have actually lost our main path, our basics. We have forgotten what our basics are. And we are giving significance and importance to every other aspect of life, and thinking that we're going to bring deen in that fashion to the people. And how will that ever be possible? Our Ahlullah, our Akabir, our pious elders are trying to make us understand that in that simple way that was then and that will be today, we will be united. In every other way that you're going to choose, you're going to find the condition that we are in today. I will give you two very simple examples. That we have become so enslaved to this digital world, that we are thinking that that is deen. Or rather, we can spread deen through that. But there is a very big difference. As a young boy, I remember, when it used to be the 15th of Shaaban, 27th of Ramadan, some of the elders used to say, Ajit Toba Karan, which is Ajit Toba, Pachu Baiskopi Malajuanu. That we have to make tawbah today, we can't see bioscope anymore. The elderly people will bail me out. But as time went, they understood that bioscope was wrong. They knew it was a sin. And as time went, then that bioscope screens vanished. And then a small TV came, then a big TV came. Today that bioscope has come into the house. And who even makes tawbah of it? Who even makes tawbah of it? Now, you know, one elderly uncle, I was talking to him one day, and sometimes from simple people, very logical answers you get. And I was telling him that I cannot really understand this whole concept of why is TV given such importance. So he told me, Malana, we not learned, but I can only tell you one thing. And he gave me an example that put me on course. He says, see, the water that comes into the house comes from one source. It could be your borehole, or it could be your municipal source, it could be from anywhere, but one source. That water comes, either it goes into the tank, and it flows through every tap in the house. He says, if I come to your house, and I ask you for a glass of water, and you give me that water, from where you normally would drink water, your tap in a kitchen or in a basin, wherever you people would take from and you present it, I will have that water and I'll quench my thirst. And I'll feel satisfied. But if you go with a glass to the toilet, and you take water from the toilet tap, and you come and you give it to me, and you told me this water I took from the toilet tap. He says, what will that water do? He says, it will create a kind of aversion. It will create a kind of a dislike that I must drink water from the toilet. You're not drinking the toilet water. You're still drinking the same water that's running in there. But the fact that it came from the toilet creates a kind of an aversion in you, creates a kind of a dislike in you. Likewise, deen in the company of the Ahlullah, in the company of the awliya, deen in the masajid, deen in the khanka, deen in the majalis, is the pure quenching deen. That is the deen that brings spirituality in our hearts. And deen that comes from such evil sources, it creates an aversion, it creates doubt, it creates so much of uncertainty. And that is why we find, despite all the programs on TV about deen, but who really has come onto deen? So respected brothers and friends, we need to understand that the basics is still the majalis, it is still the old system. Today, if you take the cell phone, as Hazrat Maulana just mentioned a few minutes ago, that we are all enslaved by this. We are addicted to it, though we don't accept it. I'm not talking of the permissibility or impermissibility of it. But if somebody wants to read Quran, and if you take the mushaf, the Quran itself, and you hold it in your hand, there's a feeling that I got the kalamullah in my hand. Hada kalamu rabbi, I have the mushaf in my hand. You will make sure you have wudu. You will make sure you sit with etiquette. Even before read, maybe you'll kiss it. Maybe you'll put it to your forehead. After that, when you finish read, you'll feel that spiritual upliftment that Allah shukar, alhamdulillah, I managed to read Quran. Take the cell phone, read Quran from the cell phone. Who kisses the cell phone after it? Who feels in his hand, hada kalamu rabbi? Who feels this is the kalam of my Rabb in my hand? Who feels any spiritual upliftment after holding the cell phone? That cell phone that so many other things that is stored in the cell phone with the kalam of Allah. Is that even permissible? So brothers and friends, we need to understand a very simple fact of life. That our life needs to be on the old system. That is the basics. And that is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught to the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. And likewise it was passed on from generation to generation, Ahlullah to Ahlullah, Awliya Allah to Awliya Allah. And that is how we will become spiritually uplifted. Bayezid Bustami, a great saint of his time, after spending some time in now breaking himself away from the world, decided that, you know what, I need a way to go away into the jungles. And I need to go and find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he takes permission from his mother. And he goes into the jungles. For 11 years he makes strive, mujahada. But after 11 years when he comes back in a disheveled condition, in such a state, and he still feels that I haven't still found Allah. I haven't still got the spirituality I wanted. When he comes home and he knocks on the door, and his mother opens, and his mother sees him in that condition and asks him, how are you? What is your condition? He says, I still haven't found what I wanted. The mother takes pity on him. And the mother says, oh my Allah, my son has gone out and look at his condition looking for you. My son has gone out in this and look at his condition looking for you. Oh Allah, why don't you give yourself to him? Bayezid Bustani turned from that door and Allah Ta'ala blessed him, Marifat. What he could not achieve in 11 years, he achieved with the dua of his mother, one dua of his mother. Likewise, if we will do what we will do thinking we are doing right, we will not achieve what we will feel we can achieve. But come into the company of the awliya. Sometimes, even if the mashayikh, our sheikh, just sits and look at you, he may not even speak a word. But that nazar, that spirituality that emanates from that, if that touches you, it can change your life. In the time of Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Rahimahullah and Hazrat Maulana Raipuri Rahimahullah, there was a very interesting incident that took place. One student studying under Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh was on a safar coming back to Darulum in Saharanpur. On the way, he met some of these Hindu sadhus, and they cast a spell on him. After they asked him, where you going, what you're doing, etc., etc. So when he comes back now, he goes to the dars, he goes to the lessons, but he was not enjoying, he was a very close student of Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah. But he could not feel that enjoyment, that pleasure that I'm studying Bukhari under Hazrat Shaykh. So one day he goes to Hazrat Shaykh and says, you know what, the condition that I was in, I'm not feeling that condition anymore. And I don't think I feel like studying now. Give me permission, I rather need to go away home. Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah immediately understood the condition. He asked him where you were, etc., all the details. Hazrat Shaykh told him, okay, don't go home. Before you go, decide to go home, go spend a few days with Hazrat Raipuri Rahimahullah. And he wrote a small note. And he says, take this note and give it to Hazrat Raipuri Rahimahullah when you get there. So when he comes to Hazrat Raipuri Rahimahullah, he gives the note, Hazrat leaves it. He says, all right, you stay here. Your work is to sleep, eat, make namaz, and attend the majlis. And that's what he was doing. After a few days, he takes a bit of permission to get free time alone with Hazrat Raipuri Rahimahullah. And he goes to him and he asks him, Hazrat, I'm staying here so many days now, doing as you said, but nothing has changed. So Hazrat Raipuri Rahimahullah says, yeah, where the time of those awliya, when they just point at somebody's heart and do this, it changes the condition of the heart. He says, wallah, it was the pointing of Hazrat Raipuri at my heart like this, and my condition changed. And I felt, let me go back to Darulum. And he became an alim of his note. So this is the benefit of the company of the awliya. You look at the whole day at the screen, what you going to get out of it? Who's going to change what? So respected brothers and friends, we need to understand that deen comes from the eyes and from the tawajjuh and from the spiritual inclination that we will have or we will get from our mashayikh. Other than that, if we look for deen in any other avenue, look for unity in other avenue, unfortunately, you're not going to find what you want to find. And there are certain things, certain elements that are very, very important that we need to be careful about, that we do not become prey to those situations, because that hampers our progress in achieving deen and in coming to the true deen which will bring true unity in our society. And ulama, right, there are six such things. And interestingly, coincidentally enough, they all start with the Arabic alphabet Ghain. You know, when you say Alif Ba Ta Tha, Ghain. The first is Ghaflat. When a person becomes heedless, you become so ghafil that you become negligent. You don't worry about anything around you. You know, whether you are fulfilling the right of your spouse or not, whether you are fulfilling the right of your children or not, whether you are fulfilling the right of your ustad or sheikh or not, you become heedless. You don't care. It's a totally don't care attitude. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Wala takum min al ghafilin." Don't be amongst those who are the ghafilin. Don't be amongst those who are heedless. For it will hamper your progress in getting the true spirituality of deen and coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are even heedless of fulfilling the right of your fellow being, your Muslim brother. If you do fine, if you don't do fine, that ghaflat is a very, very serious issue that we need to keep ourselves away from. Then the second thing is ghibat, backbiting. Allah forbid, we don't even know if we really are safe of it ourselves or not. Sometimes, majalis or small gatherings of who we find important people also, whether they are heedless, ghafil of whether they are talking or not, but they are involved in some ghibat. And ghibat, we know the severity of it. Quran has revealed ayats upon it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina. How come I call the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That the evil of ghibat is even worse than making zinaos. But yet, sometimes we become so unmindful and heedless and ghafil of it that we do not even know we are making ghibat of somebody. And then you say, no, we're just saying the truth. That is what is ghibat, saying the truth. If you're going to say something which is not there, you're going to be false accusating somebody. So we really need to keep ourselves conscious that we do not make ghibat, because that really burns good amal. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, people used to talk very, very evil things about him. So one day somebody came to him and asked him, Imam Sahib, you know everybody talked about you, why don't you say anything? Why don't you? He says, am I supposed to be so stupid that I am supposed to be giving all my good deeds to them? Let them talk, it's their business. Why must I talk? Because tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to have to pay everybody. So why must I talk about them? He kept quiet, he never said a word. Then the third thing is ghil. وَلَا تَعَجَلْ فِي When you make dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا That, oh Allah, do not let such a thing like ill-will, you know what we call ill-will, bad thoughts or bad feelings. Sometimes, let him go. Let him go to hell, it doesn't make any difference. Or somebody has something, and because he has something which you don't have, you feel bad about it. This happens in society, in neighbors, in people living together. Somebody got something, you didn't have it, you don't have it, now you feel ill-will, you know, it's alright. A very interesting example of it is, there were two people, both were caught for crimes. One for a lesser crime, and one for the worse, other. But both had lot of evil, ill-will against one another. So when they were brought in front of the king asked, what punishment do you people propose? So he says, rather the one that has done evil, let me ask him first. And I will give him half a punishment, and the one that has done worse, I will give him double punishment. So he says, what do you propose? He says, I propose you take my one eye out. So they are very strange, why one eye out? He says, because you'll take two of his eyes out. You understand? So the situation is, we always want the next person to be worse off than us. Na'udhu billah, Allah save us from that. It is such a serious condition when somebody is better than us in any way, rather give dua. Alhamdulillah, barakallah. What dua you give him, Allah will give you in return. That same dua, malaika will make for you. Allah will give you in return. And if for some reason, Allah does not give it to you, Allah has wisdom in not giving it to you. There's a reason. Allah knows his wisdom. Maybe you will not be able to handle that bounty. He can handle that bounty. Maybe that bounty can become a means of your destruction. That bounty is a means of him coming closer to Allah Ta'ala. So, ghil is very, very bad. And then ghulu. The fourth is ghulu. To exaggerate and become, and go so far in doing certain dini things that it is not even prescribed according to the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know very well that the Jews and Christians, Ifrat and Tafrit, one went so far in loving Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that they made him the son of God. So that also is not. Fulfill deen to its fullest, but don't make ghulu in deen. One person said, no, you mustn't do the color green, you must respect it, lost. And you mustn't take anything green, you mustn't put anything green. So somebody asked him why. He said, no, that is the color of the dome of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid. So the person who he said it to was nonetheless, he said, then you must even walk on grass also. Because that is also green. So ultimately, ghulu in deen, to exaggerate, put overemphasis on something, that is also not a good thing to do. And then, ghussa. Ghussa is anger. We know very well what happens when a person becomes angry. He doesn't think at all, it only talks. Sometimes after talking finish also he doesn't think. Only when the consequences are out, then he realizes, now what did I do to myself? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, the meaning of which is, a brave man, a pehlwan, a brave man is he who controls his ghusta. And ghusta is what? It's fire. It's not strength. It's a sign of weakness. When a person becomes angry, it's because he was not strong enough to take the criticism of the person in front of him. And if he's a strong man, and if he's a well-grounded man, if no matter whatever he says, okay, fine, you said it, so what? So, in reality, anger is a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of strength. And a person who can control his anger is a person who is more brave than anybody else. And sometimes people know. They say, you know what? Hero usko. Trouble him. Because they know this fellow will shoot up just now. And when people do that, we become prey to that. Allah save us, it is actually a great deficiency in a person's character to become angry for everything. Because it actually leads him to destruction. It leads him to deprivation. Sometimes people tell you, no, don't, just leave him where he is, but you know, don't want to get involved with him. Or sometimes a person is so much ghusta he has, even if people see his eyes, they say, you just stay far. Today is not, the climate is not right today. So this is reality. And then, lastly is ghurur, the mother of all evils, pride. The mother of evils. Ghurur leads to ghaflat, ghurur leads to ghibat, ghurur leads to ghil, ghurur leads to ghulu, and ghurur leads to ghusta. The mother of all evils is pride. Where a person is so haughty, arrogant and proud that nobody can say anything to me. Who are they? Who, don't they know who I am? Don't they know what I own? Don't they know what my position is? The reality is that ghurur is just a deception. Allah Ta'ala lets a person like that move for a while. Move for a while. And then when reality dawns on him, and when Allah Ta'ala takes over, and the decree of Allah Ta'ala takes over, then that person realizes, today I'm lying in a hospital bed, nobody is coming to see me, nobody is coming to even make salam with me, nobody even wants to come near to me. Then he realizes that all that he did over the years, all that haughtiness, all that pride, all that feeling of I'm someone, everything falls to pieces. So Allah Ta'ala save us, and Allah Ta'ala unite us on that which is true deen. Not that which looks like deen, or the digital unity that we are looking for. That is not united. United is true deen, and Allah Ta'ala keep us on that. And the most important, let us stay on the original tariqah of our akabir, and in the company of the Ahlullah and Awliya, and people like our Shaykh and our Mashayikh, for us, so that we can benefit and we can get united on true deen. Unity is not on evil. Unity is on haqq and on truth. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ